Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts.
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who.
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not.
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcast. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships, and so much more. Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
All right, then. Welcome to the Golden State Media Concept Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. Once again, I am your host, Tate. And I know we haven't been on the air in a little while. We've been moving to a new studio. But with the new year, I thought it's time to come back and talk about all the things that's been going on. And I always bring a good friend of mine back with me every once in a while. His name is William. How you doing there, William?
I'm doing well.
Ah, it's good to have you back here, my friend.
Good to be back.
All right, so today we are going to kind of talk about that amazing card for UFC 207. Could you call it amazing, or would you call it...
I thought it was amazing, a great way to end the year.
I think, you know, there definitely was a star. Once again, I've been saying this every single time that Cody fights, a star is born. But he has been, you know, certified as a star now.
Yeah, he used that platform that Ronda made for him and just catapulted himself to a new level.
Absolutely. So we're going to recap and talk about a couple of the fights. The first one, the main event, where Ronda Rousey faced Amanda Nunes, and that is one I know everyone's talked about quite a bit, but we're going to give our take on it. Then we're going to go in and we're going to talk about that Dominic Cruz fight, and then I'll give you a choice for one more fight that you want to talk about on that one.
Okay.
I already know which one you're going to pick, though.
We'll see.
Okay. So we're going to cover that, and then after we cover UFC 207... The big reason why William is here is because we are going to do our year in review and kind of give out our awards for who we think are, you know, for some of the different categories such as Fighter of the Year, and see who William thinks a Fighter of the Year is, who I think is a Fighter of the Year. And we're not going to just give one person. We'll pick a few people for some of these categories. Some of them we'll agree on, some of them we won't agree on. So when we come back, we'll recap 207, and then we are going to dive right into our year in review. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, we're back. And like I said before, we have my good friend William with me.
Hello.
All right, and so we're going to touch on first fight is UFC 207. And as everyone knows, the outcome of what has happened with UFC 207 is Amanda Nunes knocked out Ronda Rousey in 48 seconds.
Was it 46, I think?
It was 46. It was really more like 30-something seconds of the first round.
Yeah.
And give me your take. What did you think of that fight?
You know, going into that fight, I expected either Amanda was going to do what she did or Ronda was going to come out blazing and take her out. And it was just a battle between those, and it was going to be an early finish, which...
Exactly what I mean, because William and I had this conversation before the event, and I said I didn't think the fight would last 2 minutes. I said either Ronda would grab her, take her to the ground, and submit her fast, or Amanda would knock her block off. And that block's been knocked off.
Yeah, most definitely.
First, there's a couple of things that, I mean, because we've, everyone I know, sure, a lot of people have already heard a lot about the fight. But give me your take on, first off, Ronda and her take on how she led up to the fight, doing no media, how she looked. What was your take?
Well, when she was doing no media, I thought it was a good decision on her part. Maybe she was doing a me against the world type mentality, and she wanted to go throw back to her judo days when she didn't have these media obligations so that she can focus primarily on the fight. And it worked for Amanda, too, because she could focus on the fight as well. But when the fight came, I was really disappointed with the game plan and some of her stand-up techniques.
Okay. I took it a different approach. I kind of thought it was bad. I thought it was actually really bad. And the reason why I thought it was bad was ever since that Holly Holm fight, and I thought Ronda was broken way before she ever got knocked out at the fight with Holly Holm. I thought she was broken at the weigh-in with Holly Holm, where she kind of went out of character. And, you know, mentally, I felt like she was broken before the Holly Holm fight ever happened. And I don't think she's ever recovered from that. You know, when this whole thing, when after she lost, you know, you talk about all the stuff, and I don't want to go into too much detail, but, you know, how hard she took that loss. I thought the fact that she wasn't dealing with the media showed that she was still mentally not over that loss and not mentally prepared to fight. And I thought that really affected the way she maybe prepared for the fight, even though I thought she looked amazing. But when you see that fight, when the minute the bell sounds, Ronda's not engaging. I felt like Ronda was more afraid of getting hit than hitting. When Ronda was at her best, it was never a worry about, is she going to get knocked out? And that was a concern I thought she had. What about you?
Yeah, usually she goes out and looks like she's going to steamroll them. She has all the actions that backs that up. But in this fight, she got absolutely steamrolled.
Do you agree that it seemed like she was more worried about getting hit than being hit?
Yeah, I mean, she looked like a deer in headlights. When it came back to it, we just saw that same look in her eyes that she had against Holly Holm.
And I thought it was the same look she had at the weigh-in.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. And I know a lot of people are beating up on the trainer, and I would be one of the first people to get in line that the trainer did not come up with a good game plan. But I think the management group needed to put Ronda – I think Ronda needed a tune-up fight before this one. That's the first thing I think she needed. Second thing is when you see you hear the video and the footage of her trainer saying, move your head, move your head. He is giving good advice, but I personally think Ronda was just a stationary target that Amanda could just tee off on. Part of the reason why she was a stationary target in my eyes was Ronda was that mentally, like, I hate to call her scared, but the pressure was so much that sometimes when you get scared or nervous, you kind of freeze and you can't move like you would normally move. So you become more robotic. And that was just perfect for Amanda Nunes to have a stationary target that she could tee off on. And even when she was trying to so-called, you know, bounce on her feet, everything looked robotic. It was just like you could time even the bouncing. And I went back and I watched. It was just like time box. It was just, you know, everything about what Ronda did, it was just so easy to not only hit. It wasn't about landing a blow to her. It was you could tee off on the way Ronda stayed in range and the lack of movement.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, I was sad by that fight, man. I thought it was more of a psychological analysis of everything that led up in the past year or so and her return, and it didn't seem like she was properly prepared for it, and when she got into that situation, it just all crumbled down for her.
In my opinion, I think I've said this to you, boxing is a breakups of 20%. And that is 20% is actual God-given skill. You know, another 20% is, you know, cardio. Another 20% is the game plan that your trainer actually gives you. That's how you're going to attack this person. And then you got 20%, which is always going to be your weight cut. Did you have a good weight cut? Did you have a bad weight cut? Rhonda had a phenomenal weight cut. But the biggest 20% of all is that final 20%. And that is, mentally, are you able to fight? And Rhonda was not mentally able to fight.
Yeah, she was not the Rhonda of old. We didn't see that same tenacity, that same fire that she had against those opponents that she had before, the Katherine Ganos, Alexis Davises, all of those. She was shell-shocked.
Now, do you think that she didn't have the fire, or I think it was more, I think she was more caught up on not wanting to get hit. I think she was afraid of getting knocked out again.
Well, if you have enough fire, you're able to overlook that. If you have it and you approach it in the mental aspect that yes. I'm going to get hit, I'm going to face some adversity in this fight, then you would prepare to do so, and you would face it, and you would implement your game plan. Because I mean, the best defense for Rhonda is her offense.
I would agree. Now, after the fight, when Herb Dean stops that fight. And you see Rhonda, she's standing there and she looks down. I mean, she looked like a broken individual. Do you call that?
Yeah.
It's like, have you ever seen a fighter look that way in a ring before?
No, only when Rhonda lost to Holly Holm, honestly.
Yeah, it was like you saw like a little kid had their favorite toy or something taken from them. They, like, mentally, she was just like done.
Yeah.
So my question is, what happens to Rhonda now? She hasn't done any interviews, and the further she waits away from the interview, I think it hurts her. So what do you think's next for Rhonda?
Take as much time as she needs to personally. As far as a fighter, I loved her as a fighter. I love her as a fighter. I love her, and I just want her to be careful and just take her time and get her mental focus back, because at the end of the day, she's a person. She's a human. And she went through a lot of things in her life, and I want her to be okay with the next step in her life.
Yeah, you know, I've listened to some of the other podcasts, and some people have talked about the lady that just beat Misha Tate. What's her name? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Raquel Pennington.
Yeah, Raquel. So a lot of people have talked about, like, you know, Rhonda should take some time off and then come back and fight Raquel Pennington. Or she should fight Tonya Nevinger. And I'm telling you right now, she should not fight either one of those guys.
They'd eat her up.
First off, Tonya is a fighter who I think deserves to be in the UFC. I think she should not only should be in the UFC, but I think she should get a title shot. Everyone talks about Cyborg, but the fighter who's not in the UFC who has been a world beater has been Tonya. And I think Tonya deserves a title shot. I think that's way too much for Rhonda to take. Not because of a skill situation, but because of a mental situation. Rhonda needs a fight just to get her mentally back. If you took Rhonda and you gave her two fights that were kind of tune-up level fights where they slowly bring her back, I think Rhonda could get back into this. And I think, you know, at first when I watched this, I thought about it, I didn't think Rhonda should ever step in the ring. But I've come to the conclusion that I think Rhonda has to step back in the ring. And the reason why I say this is because she handled the loss, both losses, so bad that it's really hurt her brand to the point where in order for her to become that media darling where people will want to see her in movies, she needs to come back and have a win and then retire. Or she needs to come back and show something. Two, if she's mentioned before about wanting to be a WWE star, you can't make her a WWE star after seeing her get annihilated on one of the biggest cards in history. So you in order to rebuild any option of a WWE future for her, you have to pull off a couple of wins here and there, one or two easy wins, and then just call it a night. What do you think?
Listen, I'm pretty sure Ronda has enough money to last her a lifetime. But with that said,
I don't know about that. I wouldn't say how much you think she has. Just wild guess.
8 million? Figures. 8 figures at least. I mean, so, she has pay-per-view points and she's had substantial paychecks.
But and that's one of the things I'll tell you is, okay, let's say in her life, let's give her the benefit of the doubt. Let's say she's made 20 million. Half of that right off the top. You take half of that, you give the taxes, okay? Then you take another, let's say a third of that. And you say goes to trainers, camps, and everything else. That leaves her with $7 million that she has to live off of for the rest of her life, not to mention everything else. Is $7 million in Ronda's 20, what?
28, 29.
I was thinking she was 28. Can you live off of $7 million after being able to live exposed to that lifestyle for the next 60 years?
Ronda's lived a somewhat sedentary lifestyle outside of the media. She wants out of it. It's clear in what she's been doing. She doesn't want a part of that anymore. So if she can downsize her lifestyle, which would be better for her mentally, which is more important than anything, because we all know the extent to which she takes these losses and some of her history in that aspect. But with that said, what is also important to consider is that these losses are demons to her. She has to exercise these demons to a certain degree in her life, regardless of what phase she chooses, whether that's fighting or acting or wrestling. She has to do something to exercise them.
See, I agree with you on that one. Two things as far as exercising those demons. Two fights that are carefully chosen that can get Ronda a couple of wins back in the thing, get her confidence back up. I think that would exercise those demons. It would rebuild her career, because when everyone talks about, I mean, watching her commercial that aired after the fight, the hair commercial, it was uncomfortable to see the commercial, was it not?
Yes, I completely agree.
I never seen a commercial where I felt uneasy about it being on air.
Yeah, I cringed. I cringed myself.
I thought, like, man, they should have pulled this commercial.
Ooh.
When do you think about pulling a commercial?
Yeah.
That's the damage that her brand took. So am I wrong?
Yeah, you're not wrong at all.
It was uncomfortable seeing a hair commercial for her. And so in order for her to become, you know, I mean, okay, let's say Ronda Rousey, even let's say that, is it the T-Mobile or whatever? The
T-Mobile.
Yes. That's an uncomfortable commercial now.
Yeah.
You like anything, any of the commercials, think of the commercials Ronda's in, they don't feel right anymore.
Think of all the interviews that she's done where she's said she's the greatest, she's going to destroy everybody, she's going to destroy all these fighters.
All of that has been destroyed.
Yeah.
And so the only way I think, and that's why originally I was like, I don't want to see Ronda in the ring again, mainly because I'm a Ronda fan and I love Ronda and I want Ronda the best for Ronda. But, you know, after looking at things, I'm thinking, you know, for the rest of her, to set her up herself for the rest of her life, she has to take a hit, go in, and be on a card against a fighter that she can, and a couple easy wins, and then let her ride off in the sunset. Even if she came back, she had an easy win, you know, two tune-up fights, and then she fought Holly home and then lost to Holly, that would be better for her career than leaving it as is.
At the end of the day, Ronda's going to have to look in the mirror and ask herself, is this for me anymore? And if the answer is yes, then I would say go that route that you just mentioned. If it's no, choose something else.
Yeah, because I agree. The thing about it is, I just don't want what happened to Misha Tate to happen to Ronda, where a fighter, you know, Misha Tate loses Amanda Nunes and she was crushed by Amanda Nunes. And we're going to talk about Amanda in a second. But then they put Misha Tate in the ring with Raquel Pennington, and it was really to set her up for a rematch or another big fight. I never thought of it as a chance that she would lose that fight, and she lost to someone that is kind of considered below her. At that point, Misha did what was right, and Misha did it in a classy way. Misha showed how to lose, even to a fighter that's lesser, and still come out of it smelling like roses. Ronda doesn't have that gear. Now, so what's your – you have anything on that one?
Yeah, I definitely agree. Misha handled and rode off into the sunset with grace. I just don't think that's Ronda's way, but she's going to have to adapt something similar just for herself personally.
Yes. Now, let's talk about Amanda Nunes. And I look at Amanda Nunes as in the ring, she couldn't have done better. But out of the ring, I don't think she could have done worse. And let me tell you what I mean, because most people will disagree with me on this one. Amanda Nunes, when losing to Ronda Rousey, Misha Tate became a star. Holly Holm became a star for beating Ronda Rousey. In the biggest event, this is Ronda Rousey's biggest fight ever. Amanda Nunes, there should have been a public relations or a manager that handled Amanda Nunes, whereas you helped her with the whole publicity of things. And yes, I know all the publicity was built around Ronda's comeback, but in the weigh-in, her outfit should have been on point. Every interview, her look should have been on impeccable. And the reason why that is MMA fighters have, one, a very short career, and two, they don't make a lot of money. So by working on her image on the biggest stage there could have been for Amanda Nunes, I think it would have opened up a lot of endorsement deals, a lot of advertising deals, even some acting, all of that stuff that Ronda has. If Amanda would have came and put together a really perfect, you know, package that she could have presented to the public, I think the media would have ate her up. Agree or disagree?
I absolutely agree. I mean, she has a fantastic story. She's come from nothing. She's an international fighter, foreign fighter, and she is an openly LGBTQ fighter.
Yes, exactly.
That's reached the top of the game, and
there's a great story there. It just didn't get packaged properly. That's the one thing that, and it's not has nothing to do with her being a woman, about her being openly gay. It's a male-female MMA issue, is that a lot of fighters concentrate so much on the fight that they don't think about the peripheral issues of presenting themselves. That's the reason why McGregor has been able to be a star. That's the reason why it's such a big deal that Chael Sonnen is coming back and fighting again. Chael really hasn't been a real factor in a while, but he's a media factor. There's a reason why Chael could get suspended for PED use but get a job at ESPN, because he knows how to present himself. And I really think that Amanda missed that one today. That was her biggest loss. It wasn't fighting Ronda was the threat. It was that she missed a multi-million dollar opportunity to package herself up. And she doesn't have to make herself something that she's not. She can be openly gay, and I applaud that. You know, she could have made that a platform for her, but she should have packaged herself up so that people loved her instead of kind of a weird. She seemed a little weird with the lion head and all that. I just didn't think it was the best, the best approach. But as far as her fighting goes, impeccable. She is a force. Give me your take on what I just said about her not packaging herself up properly. But then next we're going to say, my next question after that is, Is there anyone that really can stand in the ring with Amanda Nunes in the first two rounds?
So going back to her PR and her publicity-wise, I thought after the fact she handled it horribly as well. She was basically trashing Ronda, telling everyone to forget about Ronda and continuing to destroy Ronda, even though Ronda was a great champion, and just basically kind of diminishing her own accomplishment in beating Ronda.
Yeah, keep it classy. Always keep it classy.
Yeah, so that's going to take time for her to develop, but I hope that she has some more opportunities like this, but this was a major mistake because she could have completely capitalized on Ronda's platform, which she brought in so many eyeballs, but she just failed to do that. So going forth, that's something that she's going to have to work on. And as far as fighters that can...
Before I don't want to lose this topic, so I want to keep you on that same topic, and then we'll go back to the other one. The other thing I didn't like is, did you see all the post on Instagram showing Ronda in a baby crib and all that stuff? That's kind of what you were touching on. I just thought she lost. She just tossed away amazing opportunities.
She let emotion overcome her business sense. I mean, after the fight, people were booing her, and in response to that, that's why she started trashing Ronda, and they're continuing to attack her on social media, and this is her emotional response to it, when she should be thinking from a higher business sense and realizing that this is an opportunity. This is not negative. I can spin it into a positive, but she has failed to do that.
It's a million-dollar loss in my book.
Multi-million dollar
loss.
Yes,
absolutely. Now, go with my next question was, who can stand in the ring for two rounds with Amanda Nunes?
I think an interesting fight to look forward to is, there's a couple interesting fights, actually. I would love to see a Valentina rematch. I'd love to see a Kat Zingano rematch.
There it is. That's the one I'm looking forward to, right there.
And at UFC 208, there's going to be Jermaine Duranemi versus Holly Holm. I'd love to see who matches up there. I believe she's already fought Jermaine Duranemi. That wasn't that close, but I'd love to see a Holly Holm Amanda Nunes fight.
Now, see, there's a question. I'm not quite sure what the heck they're going to do about this whole new division. They're too close together. There needs to be a bigger gap between those guys, because everything I keep hearing is like, okay, the winner of Jermaine Duranemi and Holly Holm, is they going to fight Amanda Nunes? Are they going to fight, you know, Ronda Rousey? They're still too close. I think it was 140 is what they made it at, where it should have been 130. It should have been 140. I mean, it should have been 145 instead of 140.
I believe it's the 145 featherweight championship.
Are you sure it is 145?
Yeah, I believe so. And the thing about that is, recent news is that there's rumors that Holly Holm is out because of an injury. So that might be something to keep track of.
Okay.
But it's still in its inception stage. But
and let's look at that. If that's the case, and I have been very busy doing a lot of things and might have missed that one. And are you positive that Holly is out?
It's a rumor right now that it hasn't truly been confirmed, but that could throw a wrench in some of the plans that they have.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as making that fight, I believe they made it because they have a lack of stars in the UFC. They want to put more belts on the line. That's what you see with the male divisions and the interim titles, and they're trying to make it blockbuster titles with title versus title, and they're trying to make super fights, but they're trying a little bit too hard in that aspect.
You know, if you're going to try to do a super fight, you know, you put a position between the flyweight and the bantamweight. You know, especially if Holly's out and Cyborg is out, that's the championship that lands on a big dud. You know, who's Jermaine Duranemi fights who?
You got to bring in some Invicta stars like Megan Anderson.
I was just going to say, you bring in Megan Anderson, but... And you know what? Honestly, if the UFC was smart, I would get behind that, because Megan Anderson is one of my favorite fighters. I would just go in. I would take Megan. I would take Megan Anderson, and I'd do kind of what they did with Ronda. Not necessarily give her the title, but I would really hype, put a big promotion behind Megan, and then put Duranemi versus Megan for the title. And keep the fingers crossed that Megan wins. And so there's this new fresh blood that's a brand new champion. And maybe that'll, you know, kind of boost that title up. Because if Holly and Cyborg is not in there, what do you have?
Yeah, you need to really start investing in these fighters and investing in their stories and giving them that platform and elevating them so that the general public is interested and you can get one of those more mainstream stars like the Rondas and the Connors of each side.
Yes, I agree with you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.